We turn again to Psalm 32, and I realize for many of you, actually, you're coming in on the second half of a series. But I don't think you'll miss too much of a introduction. I think the message is clear enough that you'll come up to speed very, very quickly. We study this passage by looking at Psalm 32, David's response to his confession found in Psalm 51, and his response later on, and his song. I've called it a song of the heart set free, or the soul set free, because that's really what it is. We do so always from a New Testament perspective, so we'll turn this evening for the second part of the reading, the New Testament lesson, to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, which is actually, again, a very compact and beautiful statement of what God in Christ has done, is doing, and will do. So the Word of God, Psalm 32, a Maskil by David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah, that is, pause. I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah, that is, pause. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah, pause. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our God stands forever. It is this passage, Psalm 32, is indeed instructive to us. It reminds us of truths we know. I remember reading a long while ago, and I always remember it. I quoted it many times. I read a great student of Scripture, a great quote-unquote expert in Scripture, who said, I never had an original thought. What he was not doing was demeaning his study of God's Word. What he was doing was acknowledging that the revelation of God is adequate more than adequate. It gives us exactly and all that we need. It assures us not only of what God has done for us in Christ, but in fact, it provides a historical narrative out of which that comes and provides as well that the outcome, that which flows forth from it. We're to be people out of whose insides flow life, living water. And that's what we are. You see, when David thought back on what had transpired, he wasn't demeaning the sins or putting them aside. In fact, he was acknowledging them openly, their seriousness openly. And he was laying before all who subsequently would sing this song. And I pray and I trust that you, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful song. Blessed by God, favored by Him, are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins, that's plural actually in the original, are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. In other words, we are redeemed. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And as redeemed people, we have a song to sing. I thought of this hymn. It's a beautiful hymn. It's another favorite of mine, but those of you who know me know I have many, many, many favorites. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in its thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fuller be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promises not vain, that morn shall endless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. 400 years after, many, many years, 400 years after Psalm 32, this is what the prophet Isaiah said. You will say in that day, I will give you thanks, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you may comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you hear the theme? With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. If you got the message that this message from Psalm 32 is a message encouraging praise, you got the message right. That's exactly what it's intended to do. What David does is say, now here's how it happened with me. Here's how it took place with me. I've tried to hide. I tried to run away from. I tried to somehow deny and forget the great sin. But God's Holy Spirit laid it on my heart and I couldn't sleep. And I was like the drought of summer. I was worn out from the prodding and poking by which God's Spirit was turning his chosen one on the throne of Israel back to himself. And finally he said, I acknowledge my sin to you. He acknowledged that the sin which impacted many, many, many people, it had not only impacted Bathsheba, it not only impacted Israel, it not only it served to be the separation of the kingdom into two, all those kinds of things. There were repercussions and repercussions, and he was not belittling any one of them. But what he was saying is, the fact is, what I did, that's what he said in Psalm 51 as well. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. Every sin is first and foremost before the one to whom we must give account. And sin is sin not because it hurts others. It is sin to hurt others. But because it is before the God who, in whose presence nothing unholy can stand. He said, I acknowledged my sin. I didn't cover it up. I confessed my transgression, and you forgave even the crookedness of my sin, the crookedness of my heart, which still remained. You forgave that. No wonder he said at the end, I mentioned it this morning more than once, no wonder he said the steadfast love, God's steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. By the way, interestingly enough, he uses three names for God in this psalm as well. Emphasizing, he uses Adonai, he uses Elohim, he uses Yahweh. All three of those names gathering together the majesty, power, and glory of this God to whom he is giving praise in the acknowledgement that he was redeemed. We stand on the other side of that. And the fact is we stand after fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what 1 Peter's statement there is about, written to people in the midst of trial, people in the midst of persecution and trouble. And he said to them, you may be tested a little while, but you have God's garrison around you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because what God is doing is he's turning the gold pure. That's what he's doing. He's bringing the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's bringing that to fruit in the lives of his people. That's what he's doing here and now too. It hasn't been an easy year. Been a year with a whole lot of things. It's a year when old people like me kind of kept their head down as much as possible. I have a mask in my pocket. Whether or not the government is allowed to do that is a whole other question, with politicians and people of that mindset will debate. But the fact is, there was a lot of illness around. And it's not only that, but there have been many trials of other sorts. Physical disasters, drought throughout 48% of the country was in severe drought just the other day. We were there too. We aren't now, but we were there as well. And not only that, but there are natural disasters, there's political issues, there's dissension, there's church issues, there's all sorts of things to test and try. And the fact is, we have come now tonight to praise the one from whom all blessings flow. All the kinds of blessings, even the ones we'd rather we didn't have to have, but who are given by God for our good and for his glory. But what he does, what David does in the last three stanzas of this hymn, the English Standard Version, if you're reading from a pew Bible, divides this beautifully. I use the Selah because that often is it is supposed to be a pause, or some say sing louder. I'm not, there's lots of debate over what that little word means. But the fact, I as I said, as we read it, I believe it means pause and think about it for a while. That's what I think it means. And I'm not the only one, in case you wonder whether I came up with that myself. I didn't. But it's nicely divided into stanzas, and there's three more stanzas. We've studied four. There are three more. Let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. We talked about the song of the redeemed. We talked about the sin of the redeemed. We talked about the struggle of the redeemed, the salvation of the redeemed. Now we come to the solace of the redeemed. A good old-fashioned word, solace of the redeemed. And what is it? Look. Therefore, let everyone who is godly, that doesn't mean super Christian, that means one who's tuned to God, one who's tuned in response of seeking his blessing, seeking to honor him, to glorify him, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. The first bit of solace is that God who is present. That theme is found in a whole array of places. It's found in Psalm 46, that famous psalm, made more famous actually in a way or by this musical form, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." It says clearly, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her at break of day, or the newer translations say. That theme of the presence of God with his people, ready to hear their cries, is a theme of spread throughout Scripture. It's found all over Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. The choir sang of that, and they sang a truth of great consequence. A truth of great consequence. God is near to his people. He's not an idea. He's not simply a theological construct. He's not even just good theology, warmly embraced. He is God. God with us in Jesus Christ. God within us and among us. And the other comforter he sent. He's present. He hears our cries. He knows it. The Psalms are full of that theme. If you read the Psalms, when I was calling as a calling pastor of this church, I read the Psalms somewhere around 55 through somewhere around 62. That whole section of Psalms is David's experiences, all the troubles and struggles he had, and the theme that comes throughout. Is a theme that there was a lot of trouble, but he said, you were ever with me. You heard my cries. You knew. You put my tears in your bottle. You knew about me all along the way. To live with the knowledge that God is present among his people inspires consistory room gatherings when understood and embraced. It inspires chit-chat out in the foyer. It inspires every aspect of the believer's life, as well as when elders, pastors, people come alongside those in time of difficulty and say, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. God's near. He's near. He hasn't left, and he won't. Jesus said it. I'm with you to the close of the age. And he gave his spirit to make sure we understood it and got it right. Not only that, but in fact, everyone who is godly can offer prayer to you, God, at a time when you may be found. That's all times now after Jesus Christ may offer prayer. He hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. I mentioned this morning that in our front yard is a very large oak tree with very dead branches in it that are, every time the wind blows, and it blows from the south very hard. I lose my faith almost, wondering whether it's going to land on the building or not. And I pray. I confess, first of all, I mentioned that this morning. I confess that I'm not supposed to, that's not supposed to be my response. And I do, generally. I'm not just telling a story. That's a fact. I pray, Lord, please forgive me. And then the next prayer is, Lord, I remember that your disciples were amazed because they said, even the sea and the wind obey him. They're amazed. So, Lord, let the peace be still come again. Does that sound too small an issue? It depends on how anxious you are about it. But the reality is the prayer, whatever that prayer may be, whatever that struggle may be, whatever may stir your heart, whatever may bring forth praise or whatever may bring forth the cry of anguish, no matter what it is, you may offer prayer to him because he hears your prayers. In the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. And then David says confidently, as so many times in the Psalms, he says, you're a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance, like the shout that made the walls of Jericho fall down, like the hand of God, which was evident in the coming of Israel to the promised land, as God fought for his people time and time again throughout that time. Shouts of deliverance. Then comes two of the most interesting verses in the psalm. They're God speaking, I believe. Some commentators think this is David, but it doesn't fit the setting at all. I believe this is God speaking. And what he says is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. I will instruct you. If that previous stanza was about the solace of the redeemed, this is about the school of the redeemed. After all, we are called disciples, are we now? Not? You know what a disciple is? That means one who is being taught. That means a learner. I remember at a graduation that I was asked to speak at, and I said to the young people there, and much to their chagrin, I think, I said, you're happy to get out of school in a couple of days. Guess what? Believers never get out of school. We're always in God's school of instruction. We're always ready to learn more of him. We're always called to study his word. What he's given to us is what we need. He gave us the living word, who spoke to us the truth, and when he gave the Spirit, said, you listen to him because he's going to tell you my things, and when he tells you my things, you'll understand them. You'll understand them. That's proved true again and again and again. In the school of God, we learn from his word through the best teacher of all, the Holy Spirit. We learn all along to study him. If you want to know how highly that instruction is held in Scripture, read the 176 verses of the 119th Psalm, and you'll find it stated again and again. The law, the statutes, the judgment, the word, you'll find that again and again and again. Scholars say only one verse where in that whole 176 where some reference to the word is not found. I'd never found which one that was. But the message is clear. He teaches us. He teaches us personally through his word because his Spirit indwells us. And he instructs us along the way and teaches us in the way we should go. We don't always listen. That was what the other part was about. Sometimes we stubbornly say, I'd rather have it my way. Sometimes we say, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. But it does, because it's from the mouth of the one who created this all and who's called us to himself. I'll counsel you with my eye on you. I'm going to keep my eye on you. That's not a statement like my parents said when I was a little boy. Now remember, they used to say that to me. I guess I was a naughty little boy, because what they said to me was, you know, God's always watching. That statement came usually before I was going to be somewhere where they weren't around. Good counsel. I took it to heart. But that's not just what's here. Having his eye on us means that we're never out of his sight and care. Think about that. Never out of the sight and care of our Heavenly Father. Not for a moment, not an instant, not a second. Never out of his care. There's protection associated with that. There's preservation. That's the beauty of that. I mentioned God's garrison. That's exactly, you've been guarded by faith for that which is to come. First Peter says to people troubled by persecution. There's praise that comes out of it as well. Learning to praise him. Learning to do what the Psalms say to us so often. Sing a new song to the Lord. Take the music with you. One reason I love music is because what music always does is impresses truths in a way which you'll remember. Some of those, the choir sang, "My Shepherd will supply my need." I'll sing that all week just because I love it for one thing. But for the other, that tune impresses upon the mind and the heart the reality of the message that's there, that I'm not a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. I'll remember that. And you will too, I trust and hope. We sang Beautiful Savior, and I hope that a cappella singing, when we could actually hear each other and we could sing together, raise our voices, be congregation together. I hope that sticks with you, as I know it will with me, because we're called to praise. There's the school of the redeemed, but there's the celebration, and you have to pardon me, I had to find something that sounded like an S. Celebration doesn't start with an S, but it sounds like it. But it is what this last section is about. There's a warning there. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. You see, they're tempted. We're tempted sometimes. Psalm 73. Have you read that? Ever read that psalm? In Psalm 73, Asaph says, you know, my feet had almost slipped. I looked at all these people around, and they didn't see. They didn't mind God at all, and they don't listen to God. They don't care about what he says, and they seem to do better than I'm doing. Until, of course, I came to the house, and then I saw their end. Sometimes maybe that's the temptation we have. We look at the world around, and we say, well, you know, if I follow Jesus, there's a whole lot of things that I probably ought not to do that I really do like to do. Well, if we're tempted in that way, read Psalm 73. Because the warning that's here is a warning worth noting. The end of that is death. There is a way that seems right to a man. Solomon wrote, there is a way that seems right to a man. The end of it is death. James says that in chapter 1 I mentioned this morning. He talks about the progress of sin from a sinful desire to a sin to death when it's fully grown. That's the reality of the situation. But there's a wonder here. There's the wonder of God's covenanted love, God's promised love. He always keeps his promise. You want proof of that? Just check the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with this multiple fulfillment of prophecy, and check all that has come to pass since, all the many ways in which God has worked. I heard a sermon today. This morning I heard a sermon that listed what happened when one Sunday school teacher decided, the Lord laid on that one Sunday school teacher's heart the desire, the need to go and talk to his Sunday school students one by one and talk to them particularly and personally about coming to faith. And out of that, in the sequence that followed, came an array of people who were changed by those who were changed by those who were changed, until continent after continent has been affected by that one nameless Sunday school teacher. I had a Sunday school teacher like that. I'm afraid I didn't listen very well. We sat in the balcony and he taught from the balcony, and it was too inviting to do things I should have been doing, throw things over the front and all that kind of thing. But he had a powerful impact on my life. And some months ago, now it's quite a while ago, I was sitting in McDonald's in Cedar Springs, and a lady came up to me and said, are you a minister? I said, yes. Are you Reverend Fenham? I said, yes. Are you what? At the time I was serving here at this place, and this lady said to me, are you at Seventh Reformed Church? I said, yes. She said, I know, I heard you on the radio. She recognized my voice. I went back to the first church I served in Harrison, South Dakota, and had a whole lot of young people come to me, and they're not young people anymore, they're grandparents actually. But they came to me and said, you don't know how much my life has been changed. And I said, that's not because I was so good or smart. That's about God at work. That's your impact as well. You see, what's going on here is a call in word and in world and in work and in worship and in witness all throughout. You've got a song to sing. I have a song to sing, and we're called to bring it. Whether you can hold a tune in a bushel basket or whether you have perfect pitch doesn't make a bit of difference at this point. Later on, you will have perfect pitch too. I believe that. But right now, you and I, not just ministers, but you and I have opportunity to sing the praise of one who is worthy to receive our praise. And what God has promised to do through that is amazing. Absolutely amazing because of the Spirit. Another hymn. I found this one. I had never heard this one before. It's a prayer. Heavenly Spirit, gentle Spirit, O descend on us, we pray. Come, console us and control us. Christ most fair to us portray. Hear us pleading, interceding, thou interpreter of love. With thy fire us inspire, holy flame from God above. Come to cheer us, be thou near us, kindle in us heaven's love. Keep us burning, humble, yearning, dwell in us, O heavenly dove. Pilgrims, strangers, mid life's dangers, we on thee would e'er depend. Spirit tender, our defender, guide us, keep us to the end. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength, whate'er betide thee, and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on the rock that naught can move. Sing, pray, and swerve not from his ways, but do thine own part faithfully. Trust his rich promises of grace. So shall they be fulfilled in thee. God never yet forsook at need the soul that trusted him indeed. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, don't forsake us. Hold us close. We wander oh so easily. But Father, if we're tuned to sing your praise, then your Spirit will apply to our hearts that conviction and encouragement and consolation, all that we need to walk in ever more devoted lives before you. Grant, Heavenly Father, that this evening, so powerful in so many ways with music and word and prayer, grant that this service may be to the praise of your name. We've only begun, but in the beginning we have found joy and peace in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.